is a proper name for God. Hallelujah. The proper name for God. So when he says he is the God of Abraham, John actually expects you to see what he wrote in John 1. He says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and God was the Word. He says, same was in the beginning with God, and all things was made by him. Without him was anything made that is made. If you get to verse 14, and says, and that Word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And tabernacled amongst us. So you will see that Jesus is God. You see, when you say Jesus is God, you are not trying to play with it. No. It is our firm belief that Jesus is God. Hallelujah. He's not a kind of God. No, Jesus is God. Jesus is not a look-alike God. No, he is God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when he says, I am with you, is a loud affirmation Jesus is making that he is God. Hallelujah. Not just God, he is both God and the Savior of the world. Do you know that? That's what it means. I am with you, the Father of the Savior. So he's saying, I am God and the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. And as a Savior of the world, he will be found amongst those whom he delivered. Right? The believers. Glory to God. Mark will put it this way in Mark 16 verse 15. He says to them, go therefore, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Make sure you open your Bible and read. And he that believeth not shall be damned. Says verse 17. And big signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. Look at what Mark now said. He then said, so then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere with the Lord walking with them. You read that? What is the Lord doing? The Lord walking with them. Is that the same shelter I am with you? Emphatically, yes. So that means, in the book of Acts, you will find God walking with them. Okay, follow me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen and amen. Amen, amen and amen.
Amen.
Glory, glory, glory. So it's the same fact of I am God walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So something else to look at is what Luke said in Luke 24. The same explanation, verse 44. Luke 24, verse 44. The same thing. Luke 44. 24, right? Verse 44. He said, and he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you when I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses. You see that? And I've shown us that when you hear law of Moses, he's not talking, he's talking about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He's talking about scriptures. Hallelujah. So which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. 45. And he opened in their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Now when he uses that word in verse 44, he told you that Jesus taught them for 40 days. Hallelujah. And where did he teach from? He taught from the Old Testament books. The same thing he did to those two brothers, or those two brethren, on their way to Emmaus. In verse 25, he said, all fools and slow about to believe. And all the prophets have spoken. He said, all of the Christ to suffer this verse 26, and to enter into his glory. 27, he now says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded. Now, look, he's showing us what he did to them. He expounded to them in all the scriptures. When he used the word expound there, is the word diamineo. Diamineo is where you have to explain, to give meaning, to interpret. Hermeneutics. Hallelujah. So what he did to them on their way to Emmaus was that he explained the scriptures to them. He interpreted the scriptures to them. So when you get back to Matthew 28, when he said to them in verses 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you. When he used the word teaching them, it means that they will have to teach. Listen, I'm trying to shorten my notes here. It means that they will have to teach the same way Jesus has taught them. Amen. They have to teach. How did Jesus teach them? Beginning at Moses. Moses is the beginning of writing the scriptures.
Hallelujah. So they will have to start from Moses. The beginning of Moses and all the prophets. Hallelujah. So that means, when he said to the disciples teaching them, it means they will have to do the same thing Jesus has done to them. What did Jesus do to them? He interpreted. Hallelujah. Jesus interpreted. So that means, in discipleship, or you put it this way, the local church is an interpreter's class. The local church is where scriptures are taught. Interpreter's class. So what we do in church is that we interpret scriptures. Hallelujah. For those of you who have been around for a while, we began to look at it. Hallelujah. What is Bible interpretation all about? We said in Bible interpretation, we seek to find out what was in the mind of the writer when they wrote. Hallelujah. What was in the mind of the writer? We'll explore this extensively tomorrow. Extensively. But I'll just take us through it. We're looking at what is the resurrection for us. Amen. And I'm talking interpretation. Is that no wonder? Glory to God. Amen. I heard something from Father Shaggy just before I came up. I was listening to him. And he said something. He said, look at what Jesus did when he resurrected. He didn't know when he resurrected, they saw him. And they didn't believe. What did he say to them? He said, give me fish. Right? You know, they would have just said, Pastor, we believe you. You know, they would have said, we believe it's you. We know your faith now, right? But he gave me fish. That's the level of unbelief. He said, take fish. Show us you are the one. Jesus would have loved fish. So he saw the fish. Okay, you are the one. You know, Jesus didn't end there. Imagine he just said, you are the one. Now you know I'm the one. Now, imagine just tell them from there, go into all the world. What would they be preaching? What would they be preaching? Selfie. The visual video. I told you about this. Look at the video. Is that what you'll be doing? No. Hallelujah. But what did he do? Verse 44. Luke 24. Thus it is written. Did you see that? It began to show them. Look at verse 44. It began to teach them. It says, and because they didn't have the words. Did you see that? Which I spoke to one of you to that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the covenant of Scotland. Verse 45, and he opened their understanding. They opened their understanding, right? Their minds, right? That they might comprehend. The word comprehended was synonym. To bring fact and event together. So that means what Jesus did to them was that he showed them from Genesis down to Malachi. That was it. This was it. Wow. Your eyes were open. You see that? What God then said was it that they saw Jesus eating fish. Hallelujah. What God then said was not the Kuru de Blanc. Was it Kuru de Blanc? I don't know. What God then said was not Zobo. What God then said was not... what are the ones you guys there? Tell them what and more. If you don't know what that is, teaching on it too. Tell them what and more. People don't tell them what and more than God has said. All your pastors, they tell them what and more. Even the ones that are spirit coco. What God has said was the teaching of the world. So he told them, now tell them, no, I mean, talk to this witness, and talk to the old pastor, so that the right one there thought it, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Did you see that? What are they going to preach? What he taught them. Not what they saw him eat. How they going to do? Glory to God. So what gets the man saved is the message. We're coming there soon. Hallelujah. So back to where we are. Where we are. Interpretation. Right? So in Bible interpretation, we said, we will seek to find out what was in the mind of the writer when they wrote. And we will draw out three principles in church on how to know that, how to get to what was in the mind of the writer. We said, one, a word cannot mean today. Even what this is a golden principle by Pastor Shego Noinka. He said, a word cannot mean today what it never meant when it was written. A word cannot mean today what it never meant when it was written. That's what we said, right? Two, We say you allow scriptures to interpret itself.
We're going to see all this tomorrow.
Scriptures have the capacity and the potency to interpret itself.
Hallelujah.
I hope you're following me. You must not read scriptures in your world. If not, you'll be like a young guy.
I shared with us years back.
I used to share that with you. Someone said he has got a rhema. What is a rhema? I know who Paul's father is. Because Paul said, my old man was crucified with Christ. He said, that thief on the cross is Paul's father.
Sure, all right.
You are reading scriptures in your world. So scriptures have the potency to interpret itself.
Hallelujah.
Lastly, we said Moses will use culture, events, to point out what God will do, what God's plan is, and God will accommodate it. We're going to look at all these three tomorrow. Hallelujah. So let's get back to Matthew 28. Where it says, teaching them, Matthew 28:20, to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, let's see this. So Jesus gave them what the curriculum of their teaching should be, and it will be all I've commanded you. I'm trying to rush. Hallelujah, that I am with you. When you do what I am with you, it's concerning resurrection. I am with you. Amen. I am with you is concerning the resurrection. So that means the local church, when you come to church, is not a place for diverse knowledge. I know that there are some people that go to church, they go to do financial seminars. Right? I'm going to business school, or I'm going to Christian fellowship of business students.
What do you talk about? We talk about money. How to be financial, how to empower believers in the last days.
No, you don't do that in church. Amen. See, as lovely as I am, you know, imagine I say, how to be, okay, we're going to have, you know, I can't teach you, there are things I can teach you. I'm only restricted to teaching God's word. Hope you know that. Amen. Amen. Then imagine I say, how to come to church to know how the dynamism involved in the human body, the human anatomy for its successful living. How would I do that? You are the medical doctor. Say, no, sir, you are inspired by the Holy Ghost. No. No. I'm not inspired by the Holy Ghost to teach you anatomy. If you want to know anatomy, go to a medical school. Amen. If you want to learn business, go to a business school. There are business schools in Nigeria. There's Lagos Business School. You have heard that there's Enugu Business School. If your money is not enough for Lagos Business, go to Enugu Business School. The money is not big enough for that. You can think. Amen. So that there's, the next world is the world of crypto and the world of forex. Come to church. Pastor has the ability of God to show you how to pick a trade. You know, just pick trade. Trade will pick you. You don't do such in church. The church is not a place of diverse knowledge, for specific knowledge. I am with you always. Hallelujah. I am with you always. This is why all of Paul's prayer for the church was centered on specific knowledge. Ephesians 1:17, you see it there. Colossians 1:9, Philemon 4:6. Make sure you read there. Philippians 1:9. Hallelujah. The church is a place of specific knowledge about Christ. About Christ. Hallelujah. So let's see what Jesus has commanded them that they will teach, and it will be concerning the resurrection. So let's see what Jesus has commanded them concerning the resurrection. Hallelujah. Guess I have to double my speed. I will. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16. Quickly, verse 13. Matthew 16:13. It says, and when Jesus had come to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And some say, thou art John the Baptist. That was interesting. Thou art John the Baptist. They just saw John the Baptist beheaded, and then you are John the Baptist. Yeah, just a couple of weeks ago, they heard that John the Baptist was beheaded. Weeks. And they said, you are John the Baptist. Okay, let's go ahead. There's some say Elias, others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said, whom say ye I am? And Simon Peter,
I love Simon Peter. You know, one time, Simon Peter has helped us. You know, Simon Peter is one of the disciples that I always call.
Because he just says, pa, 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 pa.
We're going to see something that he will say tomorrow. Hallelujah.
Chop, chop.
He will just quickly. And whatever all those things he said helped us to see some very vital truths about our salvation. So Simon Peter said, quickly,
he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed them to you, or these things to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I said to you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And I'll give to thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at what he said to Peter. He says, when Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the fact of the gospel. Amen. Amen. The fact of the gospel. Thou art the Christ. That is the summation of scriptures put together. That the Son of the living God. Now that I will build my church. Now that word there is the word oikodomio ecclesia. I will build my church. Ecclesia. Ecclesia is the word used for church. It's used for a call at once. Meaning when it says, I'll build my church, it means I'll build my own people. Amen. So the word church there is not Jesus that coined the word church. It was a word that they knew in their world. How you call out people for a specific task, for a specific purpose. Amen. So, like having a meeting, you call people out. So church is not, like using of the word disciple. It's not Jesus that coined the word disciple. Amen. It was a regular word in their world. The same way church was a regular word. So Jesus said, I will build my own church. Isn't that? I will build my own church. And the gate of hell. Now when you use the word gate of hell there, I know some people still think, God, you are going to build your church. And the gate of hell will not prevail. I warned you not to say that, right? Amen. Yeah, that was used in the resurrection. So when he says, I will build my church and the gate of hell will not prevail. That word in itself shows a kingdom war. Okay, it shows a kingdom where I will build my church and the gate of hell. It shows war. Okay, for you, it shows warfare. It shows a rivalry. The gate of hell will not prevail. You see that? Okay, for you, it shows warfare. It shows rivalry. I build my church. So what it means is that the plague of the dead. Come on. What are we? Stop it. Hallelujah. It means the place of the dead will not prevail. So when it says the gate of hell there, it means it applies the place of the dead. Right? We've seen, we've looked at this last year. Now, let's see something. When it says the gate of hell will not prevail, it then means that Jesus was going to resurrect. That's what it means. Hallelujah. The gate of hell will not prevail. It means the place of the dead. That means Jesus will be sent on exile. He will go to an exile. So that means when he said the gate of hell will not prevail, he's talking about his exile from the earth. He will die. You see that? He will die. That's what he said. I will die. But I will resurrect. That's what he said. So when he says the gate of hell will not prevail, meaning hell, that is death, will not stop me from resurrecting. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. He will go on exile for the sins of man. Hallelujah. But Hades will not prevail. It implies that he will resurrect. And in that resurrection, remember I said, I will build my church. Where will he build his church from? I will build my church in the resurrection. So when Jesus resurrected, the church was founded. Hallelujah. I will build my church. So the church is not bricks. No. The bricks is called church because we are gathered in it. Hallelujah. Okay, hallelujah. When Jesus resurrected, he resurrected as the church. In Ephesians 1 verse 22 quickly, everybody quickly, let's read together Ephesians 1 22. Everybody there? Are you okay? Look at verse 22, are you there? Ephesians 1.
Someone says, I know how to open Bible fast.
Well, I did a lot of sword drill when I was growing up.
You know what sword drill?
Yeah.
I did a lot of fast. Maybe that's why I know how to open scripture.
Amen.
One day we were doing sword drill. And I said, open to the book of whatever was written. And I mentioned the name of God in the Bible. I just said, it's something like Shiloh or something. Everybody just opened around and was like, ah. Shiloh wasn't there. He shows you to read your Bible. Verse 22.
Are you there? Amen.
Then we need to cram food for the Bible. Genesis, you know, said, I'll use it for someone. But you should have just to do something somewhere.
So, when you're going to say, okay, but I don't know what is this.
Let's get into the passage. For you, it's one. You're only for Matthew, not me. John chapter 6. The woman calling for me, Galatians, Ephesians, Galatians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Thessalonians, 2:16-18.
Dude, the bro doesn't have bounds on our boots.
How are you?
Amen. Matthew 2, are you there? Once you go, let's read.
And he must put all things under his feet, and give him to lay the head over all things to the top.
Continue. Chapter 2 verse 1.
And you.
Did you see that?
Yes.
Did you see that? So, I need to read it. It says, and look at verse 22. Let me read. And I put up his over his feet and give it to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the flesh of him that fill all in all and you. Did you see that? So, we are members of his church by identification. So we read chapter 2 verse 1 and 2 verse 5. You see that we are members of that church by identification when we believe. Hallelujah. By identification when we believe. Let's get back to Matthew. So he says, I will build my church. The gate of hell will not prevail. Say, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now when they use the word keys there, of the kingdom of heaven, that is what we have in the church. What we receive in the church is the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what's the key for? That whatsoever you find on earth will be found in heaven. And whatsoever you lose on earth will be lost in heaven. Hallelujah. So we hear the word binding and losing. Which the keys are for? Binding and losing is a kingdom warfare. It's a word, is a kingdom word used for warfare. Binding and losing. So that means we're going to have a lot of exploration to do on kingdom fight tomorrow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Kingdom warfare. So when he says, the church there, I'll build my church. Binding and losing. Everything you see there will have its background in Exodus. Okay, hallelujah. Will have its background in Exodus. Egypt to the wilderness. The wilderness to Canaan. You have, that will be the background of everything. So when you hear binding and losing, you'll find it in Egypt. You'll find it in the wilderness. You'll find it on their entrance to Canaan. Amen. That will be the background. Binding and losing. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me now. Hope you're following me now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, let's look at something. So we'll see how this is tomorrow. So before the resurrection, he said something in verse 14. Let's see some resurrection part. John 14, verse 16. It says, and I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, Amos Paracletos, another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. It says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because they never seen him, nor know him. For you know him, for he shall dwell with you and shall be in you. Say, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So that means in the resurrection, what we have is the Spirit. That I will come to you. In verse 20, he now says, in that day you know I'm in the Father, and ye in me and I in you. Did you see that? So that means in the resurrection, what we have is the Spirit. Is the Spirit. And this is our common identity in the church. What do we have as our common identity in the church of Christ? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is a unifier. It unifies us in the body. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God unifies us in the body. Unifies us. Hallelujah. Paul will describe this experience. Paul will describe this experience and we will call it we are delivered. You know, we have the spirit in the resurrection, right? He calls it deliverance. Colossians 1:13. He says, he has delivered us from the, he has delivered us from darkness, hallelujah, to the kingdom of his son. Colossians 1:13. Quickly, everybody, let's go quickly with it. Colossians 1:13. It says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us to the kingdom of his dear son. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He calls it, we are delivered. Amen. So that means the spirit of God in us is a deliverance. We are delivered from the kingdom of darkness. So you see, deliverance is not going to somewhere, pray to them and say, I deliver you now. No. I've taught you what deliverance is. Right? Right? Hallelujah. Amen. So we are delivered. So that spirit in us is God's deliverance from darkness. We're going to see all this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, calls it from the power of darkness. That word power there is the word kingdom. So we are delivered from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son. Look at what Paul said in Ephesians 1. Ephesians 2, we're going to read. In verse 1, he says, and you are the quickened, who was dead in sins and trespasses, when in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. So the spirit now walks in the chain of disobedience. So when a man is not born again, he's in the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. When a man is not born again, he's where? In the kingdom of darkness. So Paul now says, when the spirit of God, when a man received the spirit of God in the new birth, that is a deliverance from darkness to the kingdom of the Son. Hallelujah. The deliverance from darkness. Same thing again. That word deliverance, we're going to see it as a kingdom word. Hallelujah. Amen. So that means the resurrection of Jesus, what has it done? The resurrection of Jesus, which is Jesus' experience, has brought us into his kingdom. Hallelujah. That means to say, we can say, in the experience of Jesus, we have our own experience. Did you see that? In the experience of Jesus, in his resurrection, we have our own experience out of darkness. Hallelujah. Look at how Peter will put it in Acts of Apostles chapter 3 verse 19. Acts 3, quickly. Acts 3, 19. It says, repent therefore and be converted. I guess I'm a bit fast, but let's go. So repent therefore and be converted, and your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. He puts it like this, the time of refreshing will come from the presence. Look at that word presence. The word presence there is the word prospon. Prospon in the Greek is the word used for an appearing. For an appearing. And it's used for the resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's the resurrection. So he says, the time of refreshing will come from that resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. The times of refreshing will come from the resurrection of Jesus. Now the word refreshing is a word that means a recovery. A recovery. That's the word refreshing. It's not... and I hear that, I remember how a believer's conventional pastor said, it's not drinking coke, but I'm refreshed. No, that's not the kind of refreshing. The word refreshing there is how you blow in air into like a balloon. Refreshing. It's the word where you find the word revival. Amen. Revival. So that means revival, actually, revival is not for the believer. Revival is for the received. You see that? So what is Peter saying? Peter is saying that in that appearance of Jesus, what we have is a refreshing. What is the refreshing? From darkness to light. So what received the revival? From darkness to light. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. So the revival there is actually salvation. Glory to God. Glory to God. So in the experience of Jesus, we have our experience. The indwelling of the Spirit is called deliverance. We are delivered. Now the word delivered is the word rhema. Used from another word rho, where you have in John 7 that says, out of his belly shall flow river. That word shall flow out rivers. Hallelujah. Rhema. Is this how you rescue someone? How you save someone deliverance? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Matthew 6:13, Jesus will say, deliver us from evil. So deliverance is to deliver from evil. You are delivered to oneself. You are delivered to the one who delivered you. This is that, that's deliverance. You are called out, you are taken from where you are that is dangerous to the one who called you or who delivered you. That's deliverance. Hallelujah. So deliverance will be God's action in salvation. Hallelujah. So what did I say to us? Well, what do we have at the background of salvation? Egypt, right? So that means when the children of Israel left Egypt, that is deliverance. So what is Egypt? Egypt is exile. You know, for Jesus, his exile is death. But for the children of Israel, or for the unsaved, their exile is unbelief. Okay, but wait, unbelief. So Egypt will be exile, unbelief. Egypt will be evil. So the deliverance will be from Egypt, from evil, from unbelief to God. Did you see that? Did you see that? Amen. So they are delivered from Egypt to the land. We're going to see the land shortly. Hallelujah. From Egypt to the land. Egypt to, from evil to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Look at Luke 1 verse 74 quickly. I'm sure you saw 74, Luke 1 74. That he who comes to you, grant unto us, that we being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear. So we are delivered to serve God. See that? We're going to get to this. We are delivered to serve God. To serve God. And where will he be reading from? He will be reading from Exodus 3:12. Exodus 3:12. When God spoke to Moses, he said, this will be a token. That when thou art come out of Egypt, you will serve me on this mountain. Did you hear that? Exodus 3:12. You will serve me on this mountain. So we are delivered to serve God. Hallelujah. Hope you are saying that. We are delivered to serve God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So the land there, you know, they were delivered into the wilderness. From the wilderness, they went to the land, to Canaan. So we had wilderness, we had Canaan. That shows you that the land was not a physical land. No, trust me. Because there's always been the promise of a land before Egypt. So you're not just saved from Egypt to a land. No. There's been that promise of a land. Right from Abraham. Did you see that? In fact, I'm going to show us, but not today. Not shock. I'm going to show us something, but not today. Not tomorrow. Not this Thursday. I'm going to show us. Maybe on Monday we'll have our teaching. You're going to see that the land actually has been a promise from Genesis. Genesis 1. You find the land there. Amen? They been the promise of the land. So you now have it also in Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. So they've been land before they went to exile. So they've been that promise of the land. Hallelujah. So the land is not physical land. It was in Canaan. Even when they got to Canaan, they didn't have the rest. There was still the rest still spoken of. To show that the land is not there. Hallelujah. The land was not a physical land. The land is the spirit of God in all the earth. So the land is talking about the, all the earth being God's dwelling place. The spirit in all the earth. Hallelujah. Not the specific land. Not the place in Asia. Not a place. Today we find people killing themselves in Palestine. And Israel fighting for a land. So this is God's land. God's land is all the earth. Hallelujah. Remember one time, I don't say it because we are being recorded. Remember one time, I want to say it. Remember, we have a conversation. No, that was a strange tactic. Other conversation about land. It was a wonderful one, though. I shared it with the pastors some years back. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the land was not the physical land. That's what I'm going to do. The land wasn't the physical land. No at all. It was spiritual. Hallelujah. What I put, we're not a physical land, but the spirit of God in all the earth. We see that talking. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The land is the spirit. You read Hebrews 12, over 72. He said, you are come unto mankind. Because look at where we have come to. Remember, they left Egypt to go to a new land. Right? They thought it was the wilderness.
No, it wasn't.
The produce was Canaan.
But it wasn't.
Hallelujah. If they had known that that land had been promised in Genesis 1, they would know it was not the physical land. They would know that Canaan was just an epodigma of where God is taking them to. Hallelujah. What are you doing? Amen. So, the writer of Hebrews now says, you have come unto Mount Zion, Hebrews 12. He said, the city of the living God. He said, to the heavenly Jerusalem. You see that? That's where we have come to. He said, to the innumerable company of angels. He said, to the spirit of just men and men. Hallelujah. But before then, he said, to the general assembly. So if you see there, you discover that what we've come to is spiritual. Hallelujah. The land is in Christ. The land is Christ. It's the spirit of God in our hearts. Hallelujah. And God wants us in all the earth. We'll see all that tomorrow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. So, when he says, come into Mount Zion, city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels, it implies that that land will show, you know, when he left Egypt to the land, is to show a new beginning. A new beginning in the spirit. That will start again in the spirit. That will start again in the new land. Amen. A new beginning in God. John 3, verse 3, Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus said, Master, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Because how would that be? He said, a man go back to his mother's womb and be born a second time. You know what Jesus said? Except a man be born again. When you tell us to be born again, is the word in the Greek that means to be born anew. Anew. You see that? To be born anew. So the born again there means new birth. Amen. New birth. So that means what this deliverance does is a new birth, is a new beginning. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, Paul will say, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature rather. He says, all things are passed away, behold, all things are becoming. He's a new creature. Hallelujah. He's a new creature. New. So when he's using the word new, what does it mean? New. What does new mean? They say new means Christmas tree. No. When it says new, what does new mean? The word new there is the word in the Greek, kainos. Kainos in the Greek. Kainos in the Greek. It's from the Hebrew word kadash. Kadash. Kadash is used for a fresh start. I mean, it's used for a start. It's used not necessarily a start from nothing. Kadash is not used for a start from nothing. No. Amen. You will see the history. Hallelujah. Exodus 1, quickly, let's be fast now. Okay, Exodus 1. Come on, we're not running up now. Exodus 1. Are you there? Exodus 1 verse 8. It says, and there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. So when you use the word new king, that doesn't mean there's not been a king before. Amen. So the word new, there's no use for a fresh start from nothing. No, it's actually a fresh start. It's actually a start, but not necessarily from nothing. Show that there's been a king before, that you knew of. Come on, don't do that. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. So it has a verb. The verb will be found in 1 Samuel chapter 11. 1 Samuel 11, verses 14. 1 Samuel 11, verse 14. Verse 14. It says, then Samuel said to the people, come, let us go to Giglath and renew the kingdom there. That's the verb, renew. You see that? The kingdom there. So the word there is the word to renew. You find also, let me run through some scriptures for you. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 8 and 9. 2 Chronicles 15, 8 and 9. 2 Chronicles 24, verse 4 is the word to repair. The word new is for to repair. Chapter 24, verse 4, verse 12. Now the word Kadesh is used for how you make something brand new again. To make something brand new, to renew better than it was before. Amen. It's sometimes used in contrast to what is former or what you put old. Not necessarily recreating the old, but taking away from the old to show specialty, to show peculiarity. You're taking something away from the old to show peculiarity. Not necessarily that you are creating the old. Hallelujah. Amen. So Egypt will be old. You see that? Egypt will be old. When it says, if any man be in Christ, the new creature, all things are passed away. Will that be Egypt? Yes. Egypt is in the background. All things are passed away. That's a behold. All things have become new. So that means the new beginning is not recreating Egypt. No, the new beginning is actually away from Egypt. This is that a start away from Egypt. Are we following me? So the new beginning will be taken away from the flesh. If you read in context of 2 Corinthians 5, the old there will be referring to the flesh. So when it says is a new creature, is a new creature away from the flesh. Where would that new creation be? Say, when man be in Christ. In Christ, is that in the spirit? Is that in the land? That is the spirit. That is the land. That is Christ. So you can look at it. If anyone be in the land, you see that? He is a new creation away from Egypt. You see that? If anyone be in the spirit, is a new creation away from Egypt. Can we read it in the context of Colossians 1:13? If any man be in the kingdom, he is a new creation away from darkness. You see that? If any man be in the kingdom of his son, if any man be in the light, he is a new creation, right? A new beginning, away from darkness. Okay, follow me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Away from darkness. That's a new beginning. So when it says new beginning, it shows a new start away from the old. A new start in the spirit, away from the flesh. A new start in Christ, away from the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Galatians 3:3. Galatians 3:3. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Galatians 3:3. You look at what it says. It says, are you so foolish? Say, haven't begun, talking to the Galatian church. He says, are you so foolish? Haven't begun in the spirit. Hallelujah. So the new beginning is to begin where? In the spirit. Hallelujah. To be born again is to what? Begin in the spirit. So what is the resurrection for us? We have begun in the spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. What is the resurrection for us? We are in the new kingdom. What is the resurrection for us? We are in Christ. Hallelujah. What is the resurrection for us? We have begun in Christ. We have begun in the Spirit. Glory to God. We have begun in His land. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what it is for us. Amen. So the background of salvation will be Egypt, will be Pharaoh, will be the horsemen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Will be Egypt, will be Pharaoh, will be the horsemen that have passed away. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So all things that become new will be the spirit. So we are new creatures in a new kingdom.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What's the resurrection for us? We are new creatures. We are new creatures in the new kingdom. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. We explain kingdom facts tomorrow. We explain kingdom authority tomorrow. We explain kingdom warfare. Hallelujah. Because what God is building in the earth, God is building His armies in the earth. And His armies are territorial armies. God is taking over territories. Oh, hallelujah. Open the enemy. God is taking over territories and is doing it through His armies. Hallelujah. So can we say we are God's armies? We are God's armies. What is the new creation for us? We are in the kingdom. Not just in the kingdom, we are in His armies. So what are we going to see? We are new armies. We're going to see that contrast. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are new armies. We are in God's kingdom. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are new creations.
And what is God doing in all of the earth? God wants to make all the earth his land. So where is God's land? We're going to see all this more. Where is God's land? In all the earth. Every man. Look at how Paul puts it in 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says, God who will have all men, not some men, all men to be saved. God's vision for the earth, for all men to be saved. All men. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I know what God is doing. God is trusting that in his armies. So his armies are not a sit-at-home army. No. They are territorial armies. Taking over territories. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I remember years back when I thought something like this. I wonder if you could remember, Pastor. Do you remember when I thought something like this years back? About territory, about city gates. Yeah. Years back. It's been a while. City gates. Hallelujah. We are taking over territories. And God is trusting it in our hands. So what is the resurrection for us? We are in his hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No fear at all.
No fear.
No. We're in a new kingdom. What did you see? When you understand this kingdom, hey! You will learn to use your authorities well. We're taking territories. Say, I'm taking territories.
I'm taking land.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Look at what God said to them as we close. I close it. Look at what God said to them. Okay. In Genesis. Quickly. In Genesis, chapter 1, verses 27.
What is this topic?
Amen.
Can you hear me from there?
Okay. Genesis 1. Verses 28. It says, and he blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue. He used the word replenish the earth and he said, you should subdue. The word subdue is a kingdom word. It's a word in the Hebrew, kabash. It's a word in the Hebrew, kabash. Kabash. How you take, how you subdue kingdoms. He tells man, subdue the earth. Subdue the earth. Subdue the earth. That is to say, God, right from Genesis, has been raising his armies in all the earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, one thing we're going to learn in this conference, charismatic people are called. You want to know how to fight. Because for the first time, how to fight. We are armies of God. We are armies of God. And God is trusting us to subdue kingdoms, to subdue lands, to subdue men. For him. We must learn the art of warfare. It's an art of warfare. We are in warfare. No, we are Christians, we're not in any warfare.
No!
We're in warfare. And we are called to battles. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Like I told us in church, I said, remember, we're continuing for contending for faith. Right? Did I say that to us? In church? So, we'll see how it is tomorrow. Let's look at faith. Isn't that a thing that's mentioned?